honey, and thank you so much.
Good morning.
I'm very glad to be able to share. I would like just to start saying that the precept setting is taking differently for every person. So I will share my experience. First, I start with the, if I'm not loud enough, please let me know, because my tendency is talk to inside. So, first I would like to start with what are the precepts and how they start. So the precepts actually start in the monasteries for more to make sure the monastery has some organization and respect among the monks and nuns. So this, and they see like to realize, to make them realize a life in the monastery is not dominated by feelings, senses, and emotions and thoughts. So, and then this were like precise rules to be followed. Because the precept itself is very straightforward. For example, then, not killing, not lying. There is no difficulty to understand this. No sex misconduct, and so forth. So, but later on, when the Buddhism start to spread among the lay people, and the precept is also started to be discussed in a more broader way, and shorter also, because in the monastery they have more than 100 precepts, but for the Buddhism smaller lay groups are much less. We studied 16 precepts. And they are divided in three groups. I'll go over there. But they are much shorter than what they are made for the monks. So in this sense of a broad study that we did this course in our group. In this course, it's a one-year course. You have to be committed because it's a lot of, needs a lot of introspection, questions, inside questions. So you have to be committed to do this, but it's totally worth it. So we did have this one-year course where you read the precepts one by one. You analyze and see how what they feel for you, and you meet with the teacher. In my case, it was Roshi Ray, and then you meet with him every week. And you also have a sangha, a little group of students following the same precepts. And this is also very, very interesting because the sangha, This little sangha is, you have a wonderful opportunity just to open yourself and also realize that the compassion each of one like share with other. And because the precepts can be very deep actually, and that's very good to have a sangha to listen and to share the impression. And I was also surprised also to see in the Sangha meeting how each one received and this precept taught differently every person. So it's a good way to you to grow, to open your heart and see how much more they can mean. So in this group two, in the course two, we also have Tusu, this Hakusu. The Hakusu symbolizes the Buddha's robe. It looks very simple, but it's extremely complex. It takes actually 1 year to be Su, with the class, you have to cut a little piece, have the teacher, but it's a very fun and peaceful time that you have during this year too. That was very enjoyable. At the end, you have the ceremony, Jukai, that I will talk later. So, I start, in this group, is to, you use two books, Being Upright for Reb Anderson, which is amazing, and this Walking Up to What You Do from Diana Hesiod, which is really good too. So, but you start with the phrase that at the beginning said by commenting by Suzuki Roshi. Receiving the precepts is a way to help us understand what it means to just see it. When you practice the precepts, meditation comes alive, not as a list of moral and ethical rules to follow, but helps you in the way for living for the liberation of all beings. And this is exactly what I end up realizing, because you know, when you're sitting in zazen, you have this like peaceful time, slow by slow, our mind calms, and you get in silence, and you get deeper, and you connect to your deep nature. So, and this is wonderful, but the minutes that you get out, have to rush, I forgot, my family is waiting for me, and that's it. All this internal peace is very hard to get. And the precepts is a wonderful tool to bring you back for your nature. And you see how this, I realized this is slow by slow along the year. And now, after having learning, you can use this like an exercise to practice a little bit. Slow by slow, keep helping you. Oops, let me come back. I'm like out of myself. Let me come back. And you center yourself again. And you see how. So, as you see, the precepts help me, and it's a good tool to make you pay attention about your thoughts, words, and actions. And this helps to realize that you are how you are living that particular moment. If you are living most of the time when you break a precept, you are living a delusional or in a duality. But if you, when you are aware of this, you can use this tool to come to come out of the situation. And this helps you to come back to our nature state of wisdom. And so I will go through the precepts right now, and you go, I won't discuss all of them because it's too many, but I will at least discuss the two first groups. So the precepts are divided in three groups. The first is the three refuges or tripodium, and then the second group is the three pure precepts, which are the base for all the others, and the third one is the 10 great precepts. In certain groups, we stood only five, and in certain groups, study much more. We study 10 precepts. The three refuges. So, this expresses our vow to take refuge in the triple treasures, which are Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And so, to take refuge in Buddha. what it means. So in this sense, Buddha, I mean, I think all sense, but Buddha here means ownerless, the waking nature of the beings. It is refuge of the Buddha, it's a complete awakening. And, I mean, this is what it means, complete awakening. Awakening in this sense is that you actually awake from your delusional state of distraction or anything that can cross your mind, but it's not you, and you come back to your own nature. This is the refuge to the Buddha means. You come back to what you are, the nature, wisdom that you already have. So that's the most beautiful refuge ever. It's also in other, I took information for different sources. They use different explanations. They also say that the transformation of beings, and what is indeed it is a transformation from our state of duality to come back to your calm and nature state. And the most beautiful is to freedom for any difference between ourselves and Buddha. At least if for me who come back from like a Catholic background, was easy to see the nature, the spirituality, the force, the perfection and the love somewhere. But I never could be able to understand or to feel that was exactly the same thing inside me or inside everybody else or inside every living beings. So, and this, when you come back to refuge in Buddha, also means that you have to refuge to go back to your own and ownerness of the universe. Take refuge in Dharma, refuge in Dharma. Well, Dharma is the teachings, and the teachings encompass all teachings, the teachings that our ancestors accumulated and transmitted to us, our direct teacher, but also Dharma is also the sense of the opportunity to learn with simple things. The situation here, how I'm feeling, and everything. Every little second is an opportunity to be present, to learn something. So this is how you have it refuge in the Dharma. And the refuge in the Sangha, Sangha is the community. Sangha helps you. I see different things and I can tell the way I see you. So the refuge in Sangha, Sangha is the community. The community is very important because first helps you to see your own delusions. Sometimes you don't see, but your peers can help you to see in yourself. The Sangha is also compassion, and that's the most beautiful way to have a refuge in the Sangha. And what else I put here? And other terms that they use Sangha is harmony. I don't know how I interpret it, but in my understanding is that harmony is the love of the community that brings harmony. I think that. So in summary for this first group of the three refuges, I brought something from Aroshi Sulaka Sivaraks. Buddha is awakened. Dharma is the whole universe, nature, something supreme. To awake, we need the Sangha. The community help you to liberate from illusion. The three help us to understand the suffering, to use your power inside to transform your suffering, the social suffering and the environment suffering. And in this book, the conclusion was very short, but very powerful too. That he says, Redender says, taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, we return home to our own true nature. So this is, for me, already reflects how the precepts can. This is a warm way to remind us, in a compassionate way, to remind us, yes, our minds are crazy, new things happen, it's very difficult to come back to my nature. But this is a way to embrace it, that you can come back, and you have used this true refuge to come back to yourself. So, and then we have the second group, the three pure precepts, which are the base of all others. It looks very simple too, the wording. Refrain to behave evil, do good, and to save all beings. Of course, I'm not evil. I do good. I help as much as I can. Period. But it's not that simple. Refrain to be evil. Refrain to be evil actually means refrain from selfish attitude. To don't be attached to duality. Nothing knowing. Therapy giving up fixed ideas about myself and then the universe. The perceptions have a lot to do with opportunity for us to exercise the interdependence of everything. So, help us to wake up about our selfishness, your central personalities. And do good is a wholehearted live a life based on freedom from illusion and an independent self. It's awaken up to the teaching of interdependence, bearing witness to the joy and suffering of the world. This is doing good. Being present with open heart and be connected to everything. And to save all beings, do good to others, healing myself and others. This is doing good for the others. So, before I go to the others, so the three pure precepts are the base of all ten great precepts. They are based on the idea to the fundamental delusion of human beings, in the belief that we exist separately and independent from the rest of the universe. So the three precepts are a kind and gentle encouragement to let go of all dualistic selfish motivation in our practice to offer refrain from evil and practicing good. So, and again, these three precepts help us to transcend the false idea of misunderstand ourselves in this way. It's inevitable that we will be primarily concerned about our precious selves, acting greed, acting with hate, delusion, and independent self with our dharmic consciousness. So, the precepts basically are every time that you realize you are bringing a precept, exactly this, you realize that you are separate, you are doing this for yourself, maybe for defense or for whatever reason it is. So the base is wake up for our oneness, our interdependence of everything. Now, refrain from evil and practicing good is not about purifying or transform yourself. It renounces the intention to benefit or transform yourself. I mean, it's not that you get better with these precepts. It's the opposite. Refrain from evil and practicing good is not about purifying or transform yourself. It renounces the intention to benefit or transform yourself. I think it's very deep and beautiful. This. So the ten precepts itself. Again, wording very simple and very straightforward. Do not kill, do not take, do not steal, in other words, do not take what's not freely given to you, do not misuse sexuality, do not lie, do not use intoxicants from the mind or body, do not speak of the faults of the others, do not praise self at the expenses of the others, and do not be possessive of anything, especially the Dharma. Do harbor ill will, I mean, do not be angry in others, and do not disparage the triple treasures. So, these 10 precepts, that's why it takes long. For each one, we explore in three different views. You did the course. Then. We studies in the conventional, what they call conventional truth. That was the literal meaning. Don't kill. Don't kill. So this is our everyday understand of the things. Do not do. Do good. Do bad. So this is a conventional truth or literal meaning. Second way that we said is the compassionate way. The compassionate way to explore precepts is a more the compassionate way is an intuition, is an open-hearted, is the way that you have to understand the Buddha way, which means to realize the interdependence of all things. This is something that we discussed, the interdependence not only when you ask yourself, when you realize that every single thing we have, someone either made, either gave to you. Everything. So you are dependent of everybody for whatever you are, to start. And but I think this interdependence also, it's a very very practical way to see, human way to see. But I think there is also in a spiritual way to see interdependences. If you are able to just like take out what I am, sitting here, my profession, my family, how I grew, I take everything this out. I keep taking everything out, What is in my core? This core, this is a way I have to say, we discuss this by the way I see. This core that we really are, this is the same F you have, it is in the air, it is in everywhere. So the interdependence is something much more deep and broad. So I think the explore the precepts in the sense of compassion helps a lot us to avoid to break next time or just to see what you did. I mean, it's a very, I think, beautiful way to open our heart when we break them. And the third way we analyze the precepts is the ultimate truth, or they also call intrinsic truth or spiritual truth. This is like an absolute, it's a Buddha nature, the way to see the precepts. It's not intellectual, it's not a consequence of anything, it's just what it is. So, instead to go through them, that's not what you want to be passed, but just go to one, just to take an idea how you can explore them. Let's take the first one, not killing. I need to do something, let me move. Not killing. For example, I took this because it's a broad meaning. So, in the literal meaning, just in the literal meaning, not killing is very complex. Not killing, of course, not killing. I'm not killing anything, I never kill anything. But is much more than that, because there are many subtle things in this word. So literally makes not take the life under any circumstance throughout the universe with no exceptions. But also this precept extends to other forms of support and killing, like support a government that supports military activities, eating meal, hunting, abortion, euthanasia. One of these topics is a lot to be discussed. I'm just putting it together to see how you can analyze the concept. And even just thinking to killing for a minute, sometimes you feel so like hated, or you're such an angry, say, oh my God, someone could kill these people, for example, Hitler, killed thousands of people. Why? Just in one person, but this is also badly breaking a precept. Even to think for a second is also breaking a precept. So, but in this study, we explore other aspects of the killing. For example, you can ask yourself, are you killing your life somehow? Are you really present here, or you're not killing this moment? Are you working too hard? So are you killing your life, not giving yourself the opportunity to live? And so all these questions, just that we put ourselves and you go with them. I don't remember which of the precepts. I couldn't not sleep for two nights because it taught me so deeply that as you start to reflect why I am killing my life in these aspects. And so it's kind of a little self-analysis also. So are you appreciating enough your life? So this not killing precept is very broad and can be explored in many ways. So how could you see, for example, this precepts not killing in the conventional meaning? So there is there are two ways. If you are talking about the precepts about someone else, when involve others, it's time to reflect the ownerness of the all things beings. So in this way, the precept itself helping us to develop compassion. Again, these precepts are tools for us to use this to reflect, increase our compassion and open your heart. So when breaking this precept of non-killing, if it's related to you, So it's your responsibility to invoke the presence of the great compassion of the universe to yourself, and which lies everywhere, include our hearts. So, and this sometimes it needs to call the three refuges to help you to this. You call the Buddha, you call back your Buddha nature, you call back your learnings in the Dharma, and you need your Sangha to support you sometimes. And the ultimate meaning, for example, the no killing, is sitting upright in the midst of the impulse to kill, realize its cessation. And the ultimate meaning is something that can be harder to explain, because it's basically sit right there with what's going on. So how can we, in the daily mazes, exercise this exploration of the precepts? So just pay attention when you break a precept, reflect on it, contemplate it, repeating for that in a compassionate way, and the precepts becomes more holistic. Again, don't be trapped in the guilt to break a precept. Let it go, don't put labels, and get it out. So it's just like a warm way to realize every little thing and try to come back to ourselves again. And basically is the same way we explore all the others, all the list of the precepts. Don't steal, for example, do not steal. We don't steal even little things. But there is a way you can be stealing our own life in different ways. So, but it's very individual. Each one has different things, way to see how I am stealing this from myself, stealing the opportunity, doing something that I don't like. The lies, do not lie. It's very important. And common way to break the precept, do not lie. Do not lie open, but sometimes the little lies because whatever. So this is a way that you can come back to the precepts and explore and get over of it. So I think this helps us in the daily basis life to zazen, and living in zazen. When you explore all them, this finish, you have the ceremony that called Jukai. Jukai is beautiful and a kind of emotional ceremony where the teacher, gives you the precepts. You enter in the lineage of the Buddhists with the precepts. Ah, yes. For this lineage, we also do this during the end of the course. Since Buddha, through all the teachers who pass the precepts to the others, until you be the last name. And you receive a name for the teacher, and he puts in the lineage. And in the Jukai ceremony, we vow to respect and to follow the precepts. You vow many times, and you receive your robe. The robe will be signed by the teacher, and he writes something, give your name. And that's it. And then you have to, like, maintain this. To maintain, I ask even Roshi, how can we, like, practice the precepts? And he suggests once in a while, take one precept, sit with this for a week or for one day, and keep, like, moving them in your life. Because even the meaning for yourself can change over time. And I think that's it.
Okay, so we'll sit for a few more minutes and then we'll continue. Thank you, Nina.